Well, good morning and happy Father's Day. I have a little video I'd like to show you.
This is it. My first serious teachable moment. A chance for me to impart the wisdom of my life to my son. If he thinks he can get into whatever he did at school and get away with it, no, sir. Not this dad. Look at him. Like a sponge. Ready to soak up all my life experiences. Maybe I'll tell him about the time when... No, he is not ready for that story yet. How did the TV dads do it? Like Mr. Tanner? Or Dunphy? Or the great Mr. Belding? Wait, he was the principal. Maybe he was a dad. Doesn't matter. This is going to be awesome. I'll start with a relatable story, then show how I thought I was cool by doing something wrong, and wrap it up by how bad it got and what I learned. Finally, bring it home with a scripture and a prayer. Dad, look at me now. I'm finally a father. And both Ben and I will remember this moment as the turning point in his life. And it begins in 3, 2.
Mr. Mason, thanks for coming in. Ben is free to go now. You know, it was really great how he stood up for those other kids.
He's not in trouble?
No, he's not in trouble.
But my moment.
You should be very proud of Ben. Great job, Dad.
Let me be very clear. That was never me. Let me just be clear. As I was searching around for a good illustration today and I heard that boy's name was Ben, I said, yes, and amen. This is a word from the Lord. I receive it. I went before the principal once or twice. It was never for doing good. It was never for defending justice. It was never for the cause of the weak. I used to smoke. It was a long, long time ago. I started smoking when I was about 13. Smoked for about 7 years just because it was something to do. And you can't smoke on the campuses, high school campuses, right? And so I was driving up to the senior parking lot. It was my senior year, driving up to the senior parking lot. And I put the cigarette out in the ashtray in the car. Actually, people used to do that, if you can believe that. Some people still do. Smoke in their cars. I can't believe it. But when I pulled up to the guy who was checking the IDs, he saw the smoke and he said, you report to Mr. Whitaker's office for smoking on campus. Man, I didn't think that was fair, but I certainly went to Mr. Whitaker's office. Back in the day, when computers were first born, we had what were called CRTs, and it was just this giant, the screen was only about that big, but it was about 30 feet long out the back. The tubes in those things weighed 75 pounds. Data entry was a nightmare, but I remember Mr. Whitaker was, you know, I was sitting across from him. He was an assistant or associate, whatever, and I was sitting across from him. And in the school's judicial system, every time you got in trouble for something, they input your name, and every time your name came up, so there was one entry per issue. Does that make sense? It didn't just bring up your file and show things. It was one entry per issue. So, he input my name, and then turned the screen so I could see it. He turned the screen so I could see it. He input my name, turned the screen so I could see it, and sat back like this. And my name went. Now, keep in mind, this was only an 8-inch screen. But after about 5 seconds, I was a little embarrassed. And it finally came down to that one little thing right there, that final entry that he had just put in. That was not my story. That whole idea of my parents coming, oh, your son was so great and such a blessing. It was, your son is in trouble again. But fortunately, even though I had a lot of those bad moments, fortunately, Our lives are not just the moments that everybody sees. Fortunately, we are more than just a collection of the moments of our lives that we live. Living well, as the video tells you, we should live well, is about seeing the whole picture. Sometimes, not sometimes, I often wish that when I take pictures, because I like to take pictures, I'm a sucker for sunrises and sunsets, I just am. I have stopped on 95, I have taken elevators in buildings I didn't even go in to go up as high as I could to take, I'm just a sucker for that kind of thing. And you never can quite capture everything in the viewfinder that you wish people could see. You can't ever, and even when you get the picture, it just sort of pales in comparison. You can't get the whole landscape. This is a perfect example. This person is taking a pretty cool shot, but this picture doesn't represent what the person is looking at. It's just a part, it's just a portion, it's just a moment, it's just a snapshot of what this person is looking at. For instance, let's say that I were to, and I almost did it today just for fun, but I decided to spare you because I'm trying to still transition from that youth pastor into, you know, an adult. What if I zoomed in on a picture of an elephant's trunk, and I didn't tell you what was coming, I just zoomed in until it was filled the whole screen, but it was only about 4 inches square of the elephant's trunk, and I said, what is this? Most of you would say, sand, dirt, at the bottom of the ocean, and then I would zoom out and you'd be like, of course that's an elephant's trunk, but you don't get everything that you need from just that one snapshot, just that one picture, because you have to see the whole picture. We all have good moments. Thank God for the good moments we have. And don't you wish that more people saw your good moments? Amen. Don't you? Jesus says, be humble. When you do good with your left hand, make sure your right hand has no idea what's happening. And I think, that's not fair. Because my bad moments sometimes are broadcast. They're broadcast. I may have told you the story of the first time I visited my now in-laws. Never visited their home before. Went to South Carolina. I was tired, long drive. I won't make any excuses. Here's the deal. They had a brand new cooktop. It was one of those glass cooktops that didn't have the metal and the eyes with the flame or the, right? It was new technology, baby. And like, you turned it on and it just kind of glowed warmly. And it would boil whatever you wanted to boil or cook whatever you wanted to cook. But as soon as you turn it off, you could almost immediately put your hand on that, right? So what my mother, now mother-in-law, said to me was, hey, there's pizza in the kitchen. If you want to, just put the pan that the pizza is on the cooktop. She said those words. What I did, I was very tired, and I decided I wanted two pieces of pizza. There were three in the pan. So what I did was, I turned on the cooktop, I took one piece of pizza, and put it right on the cooktop. I only wanted two, so I thought I would leave those in the pan off to the side because I didn't want them to get warm. I just wanted to, and then forgot about it. It was not until black smoke was streaming out of my now-in-law's kitchen. Keep in mind, this is the first time these people have ever met me face-to-face. At this point, I'm sure my then-girlfriend maybe had said some kind things about me, maybe some good words, maybe she had talked them up, and I erased it all in that one moment. Who has our daughter brought home? She said it was this Christian guy who seemed to have some type of level of intelligence. Apparently not, because the cooktop. My mother-in-law was in the kitchen with a paint scraper and a glass chipping scraper thing. She was just like, dip, 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 just trying to get the... Everybody who was there that night, and of course, since then, everybody in the family, knew about that moment. Why is it that are those moments that seem to get broadcast? Why is it those moments that seem to stick? Our good moments just kind of seem to come and go. Nobody sees it. When Hudson asks me the same question for the 50th time in 40 seconds, and I don't scream and run from the room. No one sees that. I just go, buddy, I don't know. And I feel so good about myself. I feel so proud that I just don't be like, I have no idea! And I run out of the house. Take care of yourself, or two. There's cereal in the cabinet. You can handle it. No one sees those moments. No one sees my moments when I'm on 95 and I let someone in. No one sees that moment. Everybody sees the moment where I lay on the horn and I begin to talk about this person's shortcomings in my car as vehemently as possible. And then people are always looking at me like, insane person, road rager. And I'm like, how did you see this? Just let someone in. No one sees those moments. Thank God that our lives are more than just the moments. Can you imagine what someone might think about you on any given day if they were just to drive by your life? Let's hope it's a good moment day. Let's hope maybe you've got two or three good moments in the day, which can be rare. Let's hope. Thanks be to God that our not so great moments, though, our really not so great moments, are not as broadcast. Fall in the store, sure, some people see that. Take a trip outside, wind up on your padded section, sure, maybe some people will see that. Say something dumb enough. Have you ever been in a crowd of people and so you raise your voice and in that one moment whatever you say is heard because for whatever reason all 700 people take a breath in that moment? Has that ever happened to you? Everybody then, of course, looks at you like you're the idiot because you are the one who's yelling when everyone else is quiet. Those moments, sure, they can be embarrassing and they can be challenging, but thank God that those truly human, flesh-bound moments, for the most part, God in His grace, does not project on the world's screen for the world to see. Thank God for that. Our lives are made up of individual moments. What I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about today, it's how important it is that we live each moment well so that God can be glorified by the whole picture. By the whole picture. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 8. Peter is speaking to the Christians and to the church at large, to the church as Christ's body. And that's my job with you, and so that's what I'm doing today. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's easier to be forgiving, sometimes it's easier to be accepting, sometimes it's easier to be welcoming of people who don't have the same religion or faith background that you do? Have you ever noticed how it's kind of easier to give somebody a little bit more rope, a little bit more leeway if they, you know, don't think what you think or believe what you believe, but as soon as we all get together, man, we're just like, amen, we're the body of Christ, and I don't like her at all. Peter is talking about keeping it all together. And in this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, he begins the chapter by talking to husbands and wives. He's just saying, listen, we've got to keep it all together. And he's talking to them, he's talking to husbands and wives, because they're the nucleus of the family unit. And out of the family flows God's love, and out of the family flows the beginnings of discipleship, and out of the family, which is God's unit, flows His body. And then he gets down to verse 8. And I'll read all of these, and we'll go back and talk for just a little bit. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Then these verses are from Psalms chapter 34 from David. The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I want to read this again to you. Bear with me. I want to read this again to you in a different version. I'd like to read this. That was out of the New American Standard. I would like to read this out of the New Living Translation. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. For the Scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. This is the prescription, ladies and gentlemen, for living well. I'll speak first of my fathers. I am one. Strangely, I forget it sometimes. My wife and I had a conversation the other day. I said I forgot to go pick Hudson up, and she was like, how did you forget that? And I was like, I was at home and I was doing some work and doing some other things and the time passed and I just forgot to go and get him. She was like, I think about Hudson part of some moment almost every day. I think about how he's going to get to school, when he's going to go to school. They're going to be nice to him at school. Do his clothes still fit? Do we need more diapers? I wonder what college is going to be like for him. Will they take care of me when I get older? He just has this awareness, this global awareness. And I'm just, sometimes I'm like, oh, I have a two-year-old. And he's in nursery waiting for me. And they're probably not going to keep him overnight. I should get in the car and get him. I'm not the best of fathers. I'm working on it, gentlemen. Those of you who've been there and done that, pray for me, please. I need help. I haven't left him anywhere yet. Hallelujah, thank God. I haven't left him anywhere yet. I've been there for him when he needed me, so things are going well. Gentlemen, this is a prescription for us. We as men, first and foremost, should seek to be peace pursuers and keepers. We should seek to be in harmony with all those around us. We should seek to repay, specifically insult, with blessing. We should never repay evil for evil. We have got to keep it together. David says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil. Now, what we want to do is we want to make evil something really bad that would never come out of our mouth, don't we? I would never speak evil. Oh, really? Really? There are times when I'm embarrassed because I know that the Holy Spirit walks the halls of my heart and sees into the cavern of my mind, and I think, I'm so sorry I just thought that, much less said it. We have a responsibility to ourselves, to our God, and to our families to turn away from evil and do good, search for peace, and work to maintain it. And just to be clear, that means in every aspect and area of life. When it comes to your marriage, boy, you better be on that train. Let me be clear. You absolutely better be the peacekeeper in your home. And that's not easy. I get that. But that's our responsibility. We have to be peacemakers and peacekeepers in our homes. That's our responsibility. Pastor, you don't know my life. But he does know your wife. And he does know your children. So don't say he doesn't get what it's like to be you. We have a responsibility, gentlemen, to lead our homes in a way that when God looks at our lives, the whole of it brings glory to him. Listen, thank God he doesn't hold us responsible for each and every moment. Thank God there are those good moments. But it's your responsibility for the whole picture of your life to bring glory to God. That's your responsibility. Ladies and everybody else in here, you don't get off the hook. I speak to my men first and foremost because we are husbands. We are the heads of our homes. Now, it's interesting. I once heard a movie line that said, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. She makes sure she turns the head wherever she wants to go. That may be true, but we are still the head. We are still the head. And the head apart from the neck, I get it, is just a big lump on your shoulders. But we are still the head. We have that responsibility to lead. It is our responsibility to focus on those moments. If we can focus on each moment, and look, I'm not trying to wear you out, because imagine just every moment going, am I godly? Am I godly? Am I godly? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about applying what you know about your love and your relationship with God to as many moments as you can bring it to as possible. So that the picture of your life, the whole picture, will bring glory to God. And it's the same for each and every one of us. We have a responsibility and a duty. Listen, that's hard when you're a young person. I get that, because who am I responsible to? You're responsible to God. We must never forget that we are in a relationship with a living, breathing person. That is Jesus Christ. We talked about this on Tuesday night in Bible study. You should come, 7 o'clock Tuesday night. It's Bible study. You should be here. We talked about how when Jesus ascended into heaven, he did not disappear. He did not dissipate. He did not turn into sunlight, a unicorn, or sprinkles of any type or kind. He didn't just puff and it wasn't a big cloud of glitter. He's like you and I are. Talkable, touchable, workable, teachable, movable. He's like you and I are. He's a person. And we are in a relationship with that man who died for us. We have a responsibility to live the moments of our lives to the best of our ability so that the whole picture brings glory to God. And we must be grateful that our lives are not determined by those snapshots where we fall, fail, or lose it. Because the cross is a snapshot of grace. It's one moment out of the man's life. It's one moment out of the man's life. But in that moment is grace and mercy. For all of the moments of yours that get away from you, there is grace and mercy. Because there are times, I understand, there are times when you are on 95. It's called cruise control for a reason. It controls the rate of your cruise. Your cruise control is set at 65, but this person just goes, must be sick to your stomach. How do you keep just doing this? You catch up to me like I made you mad? Or they'll go, That's when I call down the thunder of Almighty God. You want to go faster than me? Fine. Don't get in my lane and slow me down. What in the world? I'm barely keeping the speed limit as it is. Ma'am or sir. There are those moments that we lose it. Those moments where, because of the sin that unfortunately still lives within us, because of the fact that we are still enfleshed, those moments get away from us. But the snapshot of the cross is part of the whole picture of grace and mercy that God provides to us on a daily basis. Live your life well in every moment to the best of your ability so that the whole picture brings glory to God. When people drive by your life, what snapshot do they see? I'm not saying live as a doormat, and I'm closing up. Believe it or not, I'm closing. I'm not saying live your lives as doormats. I'm not saying let the world walk over you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't do your duty to your country and take advantage of every voting opportunity that you have and just throw up your hands and say, do something, God. I'm kind of there myself, but whatever. Do something, God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that you should allow people to take advantage of you. I'm not saying that you should allow people to hurt you or to harm you. There comes a time when you have to take care of yourself. You've got to be smart about that. But I am saying to you that we have more grace to give than we give. We've been given more grace and we should know better. We live by more mercy than sometimes we are willing to dole out.
Yes.
Don't ever forget that you may be experiencing one of those moments in another person's life where they've lost it. But it's just a moment. Do not judge their whole picture by that snapshot in time. If someone were to drop by your life today, today would be a good day. Absolutely drop by my life on Sundays. Amen. I'm in a tie and a suit. I'm acting right, thinking right, living right. Greeting people, loving Jesus and loving God. Yes, please let them drive by me on a Sunday. But on Monday or Wednesday, what picture of the grace and mercy of God does your life present? And what are you doing to capture to the best of your ability every moment and then lean on God's mercy for all of us? Father, I'm so grateful for the dads in this room today. I'm so grateful for all those you have blessed with children. I'm so grateful for those who have stood the test of time. I'm grateful for men who will stand up and lead their families in a godly way. I'm grateful for men who will not bow to the pressures of culture and society that say that everything is relevant. I'm grateful for men who will be the heads of their households, not just making decisions about what car or where we live or should we buy a lawnmower. Men who make decisions about discipleship being a portion or a part of the daily living of their family. Men who pray. Men who are not afraid to speak out about what they know to be true. I'm so grateful for the men in your body. And Father, we need strength. And we need your mercy and we need your grace just like every person out there. We are the strong, silent types, some of us. Some of us are the goofy types who just kind of play everything off with humor. Some of us are just weird. You know this. And we blame you because you created us to be that way. So when our wives are alone with you saying, what did you do to my husband? You tell her, listen, I made him that way. Love him to the best of your ability. We're doing the best that we can, Father, but we need you. We need your love and your grace and your mercy just like anybody else out there. Our families need you, God. Every person in here needs you. Father, give us the strength, the courage, and the focus to capture as many moments as possible. We don't want to be taken advantage of, Father. We don't want to become victims. But you'll give us the discernment to know what's happening and when it's happening if we will just focus on you. God, help us to give the grace and the mercy to others that you have shown to us. Father, help us not to live fat and happy on the grace and mercy of the cross while at the same time judging the people around us because maybe we catch them in a snapshot, a bad moment of time. Help us, God, to give out the grace and mercy that is a reflection of that snapshot in time when you hung on the cross. The whole picture of your life is one of grace and mercy and love and acceptance and truth. Father, I pray that our lives, any day that somebody drives by them, would bring glory to your name. We love you, Father. We trust you. And we believe, God, that you will give us the desire to capture every moment. strengthen us to know what to do in that moment, and the grace and mercy if we blow that moment. We love you, Father. May our lives, the whole picture, bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.